Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. JD Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. I've got Keith Clark with me from the Buyer's Broker back in action today. Had the week off last week, had some conflicts, but glad to be back in the saddle, Keith.
What a great week.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah.
And this is the memorial. This will be on Saturday.
That's right. Jack Nicklaus's event, yep. Which is one of my favorite tournaments,
absolutely,
by the way.
And a good field, so yeah. I'll be looking forward to that.
Absolutely. PGA Championship last week in Southern Hills. So that was a lot of fun.
Still haven't seen Phil Mickelson.
No, he's gone.
But Dustin is going to London.
I saw that. What do they call that? The LIV or something like that? So, yeah, should be
Unity Park opened.
I saw that. Yeah, a big crowd down there.
Yeah, I went down not for the opening, but a couple of days later, and it's impressive.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, I need to get down there. I don't get downtown as much as I used to, so I need to go check it all out for sure. So a lot of things happening in the world and locally as well. And spent the weekend in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, you were out of
Drew
town.
Was playing baseball down there. So we were in Atlanta for
the weekend.
Did y'all
win?
We won twice and lost twice. One nothing, lost 1-0, won 8-0. Then we faced a really good team, beat us 8-5 or something.
Did he play well?
He played pretty good. Yeah, he pitched real well, and could have used another hit or two, but it's fine. You know, it's just I enjoyed just watching him play.
Oh yeah, where did y'all go? Where in Atlanta?
We were
East
Cobb.
Travel.
Yeah, this is summer ball.
Travel
it's,
ball.
There's Lake Point, and then there's East Cobb, and you know both of those are great. We played a lot of high schools the way the schedule worked out down there, but we got to go to a Braves game, which was a lot of fun.
Now this sounds like professional baseball to me.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just high school.
Has Drew done a deal on what do you call it?
The name, image, and likeness. No, but if anybody's interested, he would be interested. Yeah, name, image, and likeness. Yeah, so, I wonder what my name, image, and likeness is worth, Keith.
Well, I think County Bank pays you well, do they not?
Well, they do.
I guess, nothing to whine about.
I guess I shouldn't whine, should I? So, anyway, but a lot of things going on, and stock market up and down, a lot of things kind of choppy there.
Gas is still going up.
It hasn't stopped. I saw in California it's over $8 a gallon.
Now. Wow.
Can you believe that? And then I forgot what the new girl's name or lady's name that does the press secretary or whatever. So they asked her, said, you know, now people in California have to pay more for a gallon of gas than they make as an hourly wage.
Wow.
And she goes, Joe Biden understands personally what that means. And I just want to say, do you think we're that stupid? I mean, come on now.
I think no end in sight.
No end in sight.
Is there a place around? Could we buy some land and put an oil well? I mean, I think it's a little
Don't
more
say
complicated.
That, Keith. They'll come to Greenville. Those are the only people who aren't in Greenville yet are those people. So, well, I'll tell you this: interest rates down a little bit, Keith.
Ooh, I'm hoping that they're going to level out.
Yeah.
But I think long term into the year.
Long term. I didn't say. I just said this week.
So you need to lock.
It's a good time to do it, I think. Yep. 30-year fixed, quoting in the upper fours this week, which has been a welcome change. You get that little dip and everybody jumps in for sure. So
If you can find a house.
If you can find a house. We got a lot to talk about topic wise today. We're gonna give an update on the investment property. A lot of things going on over there. Keith has got his crew over there just knocking things out.
We're fully staffed up.
We did a site visit, So we'll talk a little bit about that. In fact, I had an email question. Somebody wanted to know if it was a great time to sell your investment properties. I thought that would be a good discussion. We had an interest rate question, and I'll tell you, ARM loans are becoming all the rage. I'll have some comments on the adjustable rate mortgages and what you see in that. And I will say this, Keith, our realtor roundtable went really well. Appreciate you and Mary coming.
Man, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought the topics were good. Thank you to Anna Totes, who came in. She was a local attorney. She has gone out on her own, Totes Law Firm. She talked about the new due diligence contract that's coming down the pipe, and she's a go-getter.
I'm going to visit her office on Thursday.
Oh, good. Good. She does a great job.
She spoke my language.
Yeah. Well,
overperform.
That's right. Yeah, she's top shelf for sure. So any of our real estate agents that are out there, listening to the show, you should give Anna Totes a try. She was at Bell Carrington previous to that, who always did a good job. She's gone out on her own, found some of the best paralegals in town, hired them to come on board because, you know, they're the ones that kind of drive the boat for sure. But anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. A lot to talk about today here on House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Remember, the email, if you want to shoot us a question, is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We're talking real estate today and appreciate all our listeners here in the upstate that listen in and those that tune in online for sure. And a lot of things going on, both interest rate-wise and mortgage-wise and the real estate market. Just a lot of things to talk about today, Keith. And of course, you know, just kind of going back and looking at the April numbers, first month we were down just a little bit here in the Greenville market, down 5% year over year, still up about 2% year over year through the end of April. It'll be very interesting. We should have the numbers, you know, maybe not next week, but the following week for May. And I think we're expecting kind of more of the same in regards to what we saw in April, same thing in May.
Yeah, and of course, really, that's a reversal of trend.
Right, right.
A dramatic reversal of trend. And the big question will be, JD, just how much are we just tapping the brakes or are we putting some pressure on the brakes?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. I have a gut feel that we're not just tapping.
And you are a good barometer because everybody that purchases, well, that's not true.
Two-thirds
of the people that purchase homes need a mortgage, and one of the first places you see that change would be in the number of mortgage applications.
Yeah, and we have slowed in that regard. You know, you can't really look at the last 2 years because there were so many refinance applications that were coming through. We have been staying around that 40 to 50 application mark. About 80% of those, if not more, were purchase applications. But just in the last 2 weeks, that's kind of gone down another maybe 15 or 20%. So, you know, it has slowed a little bit in that regard. So it's kind of interesting that that you say that. That's kind of the front end of the curve for sure, you know, when you look at it.
And the question again is just how much? How much of a decrease will we see in the number of transactions? How will that affect inventory and also the appreciation rates, which has been 12 to 15% a year the
sure.
last 3 years? And we've talked often about it not being sustainable indefinitely,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I never would have expected it to
come to a screeching
slow down so quickly, so fast. Now we're jumping the gun a little bit because we haven't seen the numbers.
That's right. You're right. We could be surprised.
That's exactly
you
right.
Know,
but our instincts tell us that, and we've been talking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah. You know, I had this conversation. So I sat down with Brandon at the Realtor Roundtable for one of the little 20-25 minute segments. And we had a discussion at the table with the real estate agents that showed up about, you know, what do we see 90 days from now and 6 months from now? And I told them it was my opinion that we were at the very beginning of seeing the brakes put on a little bit. I said, now, you know, nobody asked my opinion. I'm not on, you know, MSNBC or anything talking to a nationwide perspective. But that's just my opinion for sure. Now, I will say this. Our listeners probably know that Keith has been helping myself. I have a rental property that I've decided to sell, and the lease ran out for the tenant, I guess, at the very beginning of April or so. And I went out and did a quick 10-minute inspection of the property. I knew we were going to have some issues.
After you put up a flare, didn't you?
I did. I said, Houston, we've got a problem. Yeah. So I knew there were going to be a lot of things that we had to do. And first of all, publicly thank Keith for both he and Mary kind of decided they wanted to tackle the project. And you had a team of guys that you work with that you felt like could get the job done for us. And we've uncovered some things that we didn't expect, or I kind of expected them, to be honest with you. And I think you maybe did too. but also the things that we could see that we needed to fix. And then with the purpose of fixing this house up and then putting it on the market, which we're still a few weeks away from doing. You know, there's a lot of things to do. Obviously we went out and did a site visit, I guess it was last week, and things are coming along pretty good.
Yeah, and a lot going on.
Yeah.
And what we should really talk about is that this kind of dovetails. We got a question about 2 months ago from a listener, an email question that said, what type of inspections, what are the minimum yes. type of inspections that I should get?
Yeah, I remember that.
And remember,
yeah.
I talked about as an investor, the one that you want to do is the termite letter, termite inspection.
Absolutely.
Most investors can kind of thumbnail what they think they'll need to do to rehab. You had a guy, an investor, look at this house.
Yep.
He spent probably an hour in the house yep. and made you an offer.
Yeah, he made me an offer. I could have taken it right then and walked away.
That's right. And you would have probably left some money on the table, or we think a good bit of money.
Yeah.
But the point is the type and scope of inspections that you want to perform help you determine the scope of rehab. And the question that we got from the listener, this most recent one, was indeed, it's the top of the market and is now a good time to sell
yeah.
my investment property.
Yeah.
Now, we know that the investors purchased so many of the foreclosure homes in 2009, 10, 11, and 12.
Yep.
And there are investors thinking about and putting those homes on the market after they've kept them for 10 or 12 years,
yep.
depreciated them, paid down the mortgage balance with such low interest rates,
yep.
such high appreciation that now is a very good time to cash out, particularly if you think the performance of that investment property is not going to be over the next 10 years what it has been in the past 10 years.
Right.
You may want to cash out of that deal and put that money in another type of investment that might give you a higher return.
Sure, absolutely.
And you know,
and it's kind of defining your goals and objectives.
That's right.
You know, it goes back to kind of what we talk about a lot. And you're exactly right, Keith. You know, the combination of the low interest rates to which people borrowed the money to purchase these investment properties, the appreciation that they've experienced over the last 10 to 15 years, all that, you know, working down the balance, the appreciation, the rental market rates as being as high as they were, it was almost a perfect storm, you know, for those people. And now, you know, it's almost time. Do you consider ringing the bell and cashing out? You know, and the other side of that is, will that be enough to affect the inventory levels?
That's right.
You know, and create, you know, which in turn should drive the median sales price, not down, but it should level
slow
off
the rate of increase.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of, you know, factors to consider when you talk about doing that.
And I think the top of the market has already occurred. We called that. It's been about 5 weeks.
Yep.
We called that on a specific day, just like we remember and talked about in June of 2011 when the market turned upward from its downturn
yeah.
in 2008, 9, and 10. And so understanding that, I think most investors have probably missed that peak. Now, having said that, we believe that it'll continue to be a seller's market for some time.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, what's happened very quickly in the last 90 days, from a screaming hot market to a slowdown or a slowing rate of increase very quickly. And so,
and a lot of that has to do with interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
How fast they went up.
Absolutely.
For sure. And, you know, and the thing is, too, I think you'll see the segments of, you know, your what we call the trophy homes, you know, your mid-level or upper mid-level, and then your first-time homebuyer homes, I think you'll see certain markets really slow down faster than you will the first-time homebuyer market, and some of those maybe in that 175 to 300 range.
Well, one of the things that we also need to talk about in the same context, JD, is the reduction in new home construction starts. That is down.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of the increase in pricing in labor and materials, the entry-level home today gosh, I'm going to say it's 275, 300,000.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you there, Keith. You know, it's funny that we say that. And on my way in today to the radio show, I got two emails. One is a professional that's relocating to Greenville from Columbia, under contract for $400,000 out near State Park Road, somewhere out that way. And then I've got another, a former client's son who's 24 years old, just went under contract for $250,000 here in Greenville. Both of them looking for mortgages. So, you know, don't misconstrue what we're saying. It is not shut off.
No, the market is very active.
The market is still very active. You know, it's just the trend where the arrow was pointing straight up in the air now has leveled off a little bit and is more towards maybe 2 o'clock on a dial.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
So. And of course, again, the big question will be how much will it slow down?
Yeah.
From what we have, the last 3 years have been. All we've talked about is decrease in inventory, increase in pricing, increase in the number of transactions, mm-hmm. Multiple offer deals, standing in line to go view a property, 10, 12, 15 offers on the same property, 7 of them above asking price, yeah. And 3 of them cash.
Well, and I know you found an article. This is from a national perspective. You know, out in California, they interviewed a real estate broker in the Los Angeles area, and they were talking about, hey, I used to get 10 to 15 offers on most of the houses that I had listed. Now I'm only seeing 2 to 6 offers on a house, and it has to be a good house in order to get that number of offers. Obviously, that's a national perspective, and of course, Greenville seems to be a little insulated. We still have a lot of people that are moving here to the area from the Midwest, from the Northeast, from the, you know, even California and places. So I think we'll be a little insulated from some of that. I don't think we're going to see what you typically see in California and maybe some of the desert states, you know, and that kind of thing. But we'll be very interesting over the next few months.
Yeah, and one of the articles we brought in this morning was more sellers dropping their asking price.
Sure.
So we haven't really, you know, days on the market's less than 30 days. So that's an average.
Yeah.
And more than 50% of the homes, I think, statistically, the offers are above asking price. So that's changing.
Yeah, 101.4% in April of 22.
That's the average.
Percentage on average. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I just... you know, and the people that I talk to and talking to the loan officers that we have over at County Bank, there's still a lot of first-time homebuyer activity. There's still a lot of people getting into the market. You know, one of the biggest obstacles that we're seeing now is people are getting qualified and they have their eyes set on that $300,000 house at a 4% interest rate or even lower than that. When they got pre-qualified, they haven't been able to find the house, and now they're at 5%. And all of a sudden, that house is costing them an additional $200 to $300 a month, and it's sort of changing their perspective on the type of house that they can buy. They're having to give up a little bit on that purchase price side, or the other part of the equation. And this is one of the email questions we have. We'll go into later. Is the assets? They may have the assets to put down on that $300, but now they want to buy that same house as $350 or $360.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, they've got to come up with that extra money, you know, to put down.
And not only that, JD, because of the raging inflation, it is real to the millennials right now.
Sure.
Because the amount of money that you spend on groceries weekly and gas weekly has increased significantly over the last 120 days.
Try a teenager on for size for that gas. Yeah. I mean, he drives everywhere just to get in the car and drive.
He just swipes it, doesn't he?
Oh, he's just swiping away. Yeah, guess what? My register's ringing on my phone constantly. That's exactly right. So, you know, I don't think I put a gallon of gas. This is sad to say. I don't put a tank of gas in, but maybe... I'm going to say 1.5 times a month, you know, unless we're going to Atlanta or something like that. He's a once a week guy, it seems like. So anyway, I guess we all fight that battle at one time in our life or not. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans. We do appreciate you listening today. If you do have an email question, just remember you can always email us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And, of course, during the week you can reach us at County Bank at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we can get you pre-qualified, or maybe you're thinking about cashing out for renovations or something along those lines. We would love to talk to you for sure. We'll be back here after the bottom of the hour break here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage talking today with Keith Clark from the Buyer's Agent here in Greenville. We appreciate you listening in. Just a quick interest rate update like we always do at the bottom of the hour. Interest rates are down a little bit, Keith, 30-year fixed. I looked at a deal for a client I was just talking about. Should be in the upper fours. That's without paying points for a 30-year fixed, which is an excellent interest rate for sure. 20-year fixed running about an eighth to a quarter lower than that. Let's call that the upper fours as well. And then 15-year fixed is going to be in that low to mid-four range. Even jumbo money you can get, and that's loans over 647-200. 30-year money on those are running in the fours. So we're kind of consistently in the fours. Now, I will say this. If you are refinancing and taking cash out, many times, especially on 30-year money with a lower credit score, you're going to be up in the mid to upper fives. And when I say lower credit score, I'm talking about below 700. If you're above 760, you're probably still going to be in the low fives, but still an opportunity there to get a 30-year money at a pretty decent interest rate. It kind of brings me to our next topic that we wanted to talk a little bit about today. You know, obviously, my situation is a little bit different, being an investment property. We're sort of getting it up to par level or whatever before we sell it, but doing a lot of renovations and that kind of thing. We had a guy at our house, me and Jennifer did yesterday. We're getting ready to do a kind of a small little remodel and kind of reshuffling some rooms. It never ends, Keith. You just laugh. See, that's it. Jennifer, listen, she can't sit still, okay? You know that. I mean,
it's pretty funny, dude.
It is. It's gonna be an entirely new house by the time
This is the second round of renovations for you.
Well, you know, we
I know you did the kitchen twice in 15 years.
I know, Keith. This is gonna be so
and the backyard looks like a park.
A park.
Disney might be interested in leasing that property from you.
Everything's for sale, Keith. Right. So every time you see that inventory number, where is that number here for Greenville? 1800 or 2352? Add one. What is 2353? My home is always for sale, and I am not scared to move to an apartment. I can do that for a year or two.
The apartment.
It might cost me more. Right. Yeah, it might cost me more in the long
run. But you'll have some cash. But
yeah, well, unless Jennifer takes it all because she divorced me. But other than that, anyway, well, we're getting off topic here. Anyway, so the interest rates are down a little bit, and it kind of reminds me, you know, the renovations, a lot of people have been talking about doing that. And you found an interesting article that came out this week. It's just saying, you know, with the growing competition in housing, more homeowners now say they would rather, you know, fix up what they got and renovate what they got as opposed to selling their house and trying to find something new. And I thought that was very interesting. 72% of homeowners say they'd rather make home improvements than sell their house. Couple reasons we think that's true, Keith. Number one, my interest rate's at 2.75 on my mortgage. I don't want to go to 5.25.
That's right.
Okay, that's one reason to purchase a new home. And then another reason is, I mean, everybody knows moving's a hassle and all that kind of stuff, but when you can't find really what you're looking for, I played golf Monday. This was kind of an interesting conversation with an orthopedic surgeon here in town. Really good guy. Now, this guy owns a house. This is top of the market range, okay? I'm talking about, you know, I think his house is probably... I've been to it. I wouldn't even know where to put a sticker on it. Let's just say it's a $1.5 to $2 million house.
Right.
And anyway, so they were looking to downsize a little bit. They still got three kids. One's in high school, middle school.
I would call that right sizing.
Right. Anyway, so we were talking. He says, you know, we've got this big old, you know, trophy home or whatever, and we're looking to downsize. And but he was talking. He says, she found something that we could buy. He goes, but we're still going to be in that same price range. We're getting 1,000 square feet less or so, you know, and now I'm going to have to pay a higher rate on the mortgage I've got. He goes, why would I do that?
That's right.
You know,
that's the exact equation that we're talking about.
Yes. You know,
and I got to tell you, there are a couple of added factors in that conversation. Because of the growth in most small and medium sized markets, if you buy something else, JD, sometimes you're going to give up that great location that you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're in an area that may have appreciated dramatically. And if you want new construction or maybe something with a little more elbow room, you're going to have to go further out and you lose that fantastic location. So there are a lot of reasons why remodeling makes more sense than selling and buying. Now, my colleagues don't want to hear that, you know, because we're in the business of selling and buying.
That's correct.
That's right.
Well, 48% of respondents said they plan to renovate or upgrade their home this spring or summer, Keith. Half the people that they talked to.
Yeah. And part of that, JD, I always think beyond what the headline is. Everybody is equity rich. Remember, what's happened over the last 36 months is the value of your home probably went up anywhere from 40 to 50%.
Yep.
So you're equity rich. And why would you sell, buy? It costs a good bit of money.
Yeah.
Selling costs, buying costs, moving costs. They're
deed stamps, well, everything else.
Yeah. Why not just stay where you are?
Right. Now, I'll tell you this, Keith. So here's what people are planning on doing when you talk about the home improvements. Paint, 47%, both interior or exterior. Upgrading exterior landscaping, 30%. Okay, let's get the place looking nice. Upgrading the bathroom, 27%. Improving fixtures, 26%, okay? Repairing or replacing flooring, 25% of the people that were asked. Renovating, upgrading kitchen, 22%. It's the same thing as the windows. It's the same thing that we talk about all the time. And I just thought it was very interesting that there's so many people. And I will tell you this, we are doing more cash out refinances. Obviously, there's not many rate and terms because with the rates being higher, it just doesn't make as much sense. We're getting a lot of home equity line of credit requests now for the same reason that you just mentioned, that everybody's equity rich. And so they've got this equity and they can tap into that equity to renovate their home, whatever it may be. And one of the things that, you know, I even talked to my loan officers about, I said, just because somebody's got 3.25, don't automatically think that putting them into a 5% fixed rate is not the right move, because it can be, especially if they've got PMI on that mortgage they had when they bought the house. Yeah, they built up a lot of equity, but they're still paying private mortgage insurance. So their equivalency rate may be the same as that 5% rate or whatever it may be. You know, we all know that the short-term interest rates, prime, has been going up. It will probably continue to go up. So your equity line rates are going to be probably north of 5% at times. So then you have to kind of look at, okay, do I give up the low rate on my first mortgage to have, you know, depending on how much you're borrowing on the second mortgage and that kind of thing. But I thought that was very interesting. A lot of people looking at renovating their home, and there's a, you know, it takes a little bit of planning from a financial standpoint on how you're going to put that together and what you're going to do and the timing and all that.
And of course,
sort of
we
thing.
Always talk about sitting down with a professional and mapping all that out. Identify your goals and objectives, and you sit down and map out their financial approach, the customized mortgage solution,
sure,
to what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, very true, very true. I'll be very curious to see. By the way,
JD, we're doing all that on your investment.
Well, you know, I was sitting there looking at it. I was like, paint, yep, doing that. Exterior landscaping, yep, we did that. Bathroom, yep, we're doing that. And fixtures, flooring, yep, painting. You know, Keith, we're doing it all here. Roof, deck and patio, yeah, you know, fixing that. Fireplace, you know, getting rid of that. I mean, it's been one thing after another for sure.
Yeah, and the big item, of course, that's not on there is termite damage.
Yes.
So.
And putting in a pool, Keith.
Yeah.
You going to put in a pool back there for me?
It's not at that price point. So.
Correct.
And
that's
we
right.
And we want to think about ROI as an investor.
That's very true.
Focus on ROI.
That's right. Yeah, I just saw that. Everybody's talking about putting in a pool or hot tub, but that was only 8%. So not many people taking advantage of that. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We still have some topics that we want to hit on. I want to talk a little bit about adjustable rate mortgages, Keith. A lot of people have been asking for the ARMs, why we think that's a good idea or maybe not such a good idea. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also, we get a lot of questions from home buyers wanting to know about their assets and what they're going to use for closing and what's eligible and that kind of thing. So we'll talk more about that as we head into our final segment right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Heading to the final segment here. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show. We really appreciate everyone listening in and allowing us to share Saturday morning with you as we talk real estate and mortgage lending today. My name is J.D. Nelson. I'm with County Bank Mortgage here in Greenville. I have Keith Clark with me with the Buyer's Broker, and a lot of good topics that we're talking about today. I will share our email if you have a question or comment that you would like to send to us. Real easy. You can send an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Just spelled out, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we would love to hear from you for sure. Excuse me, Keith. So, you know, a lot of people taking up adjustable rate mortgages. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of requests here in the last, few weeks and months where more people are starting to ask for those. They were very popular back in 05, 06, 07. And I think a lot of that is driven by the fact that people had an idea of what their payment was going to be when they pre-qualified and rates were between 3 and 3.5. And now that they've gone to 5, I feel like they are interested in maybe doing an ARM loan. And trying to get a rate lower than a fixed rate, be it a 5-year ARM or a 7-year ARM, and just kicking the can down the road to see how the market shakes out, and then maybe considering refinancing later on once their income levels are a little higher and getting to a fixed rate at that time.
And a lot of people, JD, they're kind of committed to that 30-year fixed mortgage, but those 10-year adjustable rate mortgages have a lot of the characteristics of a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
And some people that are just committed to I'm not interested in an ARM. It's kind of a scary terminology. But if you look at your goals and objectives and match them with what the best solution is, it might very well be a good fit.
Well, we know that most people, and I think these statistics are the same. I have not looked at these in some time, but most people stay in a home somewhere between 6 and 9 years for the most part. And typically at that point, they either need to upgrade and buy a larger home, or maybe they need to go down the other way and buy a smaller home, or maybe they're moving because of some kind of corporate relocation, or it could be a local move. They're in this school district, but they want to be in this school district or whatever the situation may be. And, you know, when we say an ARM loan, all the ARMs have a fixed period up front. That could be a 5-year ARM fixed for 5 years, 7-year ARM fixed for 7 years, whatever it may be. So,
you know, JD, it's amortized like a 30.
It's a 30-year amortization. Yeah. Most of the time, it's going to be a 30-year amortization.
So your payment's not, it would be the same as a 30-year fixed because it's amortized.
That's correct.
Like a 30-year
fixed. And you said this many times, Keith, here on the show. You know, when people buy a home and they close on that home, typically, their income levels are going to be at the lowest point they're going to be. You're assuming you're going to make more money over time. So, you know, when you get into that 5 or 7 year ARM, which tend to be the most popular, you know, one of the things that you can do is, you know, that your payment's going to be the same for that 5 to 7 year period. And what people are thinking is hey, let's think about things 5 to 7 years from now. Most likely, our house is going to be worth a little more money than it is now. Our income levels are going to be a little higher. We may see interest rates dip, and then we can, you know, maybe lock in on a fixed rate at that time. Let's just sort of play the market and see how that shakes out. And we have a lot of people requesting ARM loans at this time. Now, it's a lot different from what we saw back in 05, 06, 07, you know, back then we had a lot of what I call these exotic mortgage products where it was interest only, or it was, I remember the pick a pay where you could just, you know, you didn't have to cover the interest. I mean, there were all kind of wild programs. We all know about NINA and CESA and, you know, no income, no assets and all that. That is not what is going on in the market today. These are very high quality, underwritten, solid financial type loans. Are just under an adjustable rate sort of umbrella. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And I think people are just trying to get their payments down to what they thought they were going to be when they get pre-qualified, based on the increases that we saw and that kind of thing. So now I did see this, Keith, and you may have seen some of this as well. Got a message here from John. I've been looking for a home for some time, but unable to land what I want. With the rise in values, I am going to have to spend a little more money than I want to spend, which means I will need some additional money for my down payment. My mortgage person advised that it is important to know where that money is coming from, what sources are available to me. So what we're talking about here is, you know, here's a guy who was pre-qualified to purchase a home, sounds like a first-time home buyer, and he's probably putting 3 or 5% down. He was expecting to buy, say, you know, $200,000, let's just say, 5% down. He's going to need $10,000 plus his closing costs and that kind of thing. And now, all of a sudden, that house is, you know, going for $250,000, and he's trying to figure out where to come up with that extra money. And here's what I would say. So, you know, when you talk to a mortgage professional, probably the most important conversation is about assets and down payment. And, you know, that's probably the most scrutinized, maybe other than the appraisal, in regards to what the underwriters are going to look at and where that money is going to come from. Traditionally, you can do your checking and savings. That'd be money that you saved over time, is probably the vanilla ice cream of assets. You know, some people have money saved up. You can also take a loan off your 401k, or you can withdraw money off your 401k if you have that. Now, every 401k plan is different. Some will allow you to do that, some will not. So that's a question that you need to talk to your administrator of the plan about. But sometimes you can, you know, take money off your 401k. My favorite, Bank of Mom and Dad. Yeah. That's a great, you know, that seems to be a popular place to get money these days. And what we call that is a gift. We do a gift letter, and there's a process involved in that. Many times we see parents jump in there and you know, sort of bridge the gap for their children there from the down payment and or closing costs or things that you see. You know, we've talked about this on the show as well. Cryptocurrency seems to be a larger and larger piece of the pie in terms of people's investments. And there's a whole set of rules that you need to follow in regards to using cryptocurrency for down payment. That is definitely something you talk to your mortgage professional about upfront, and go ahead and put that process in motion, because you will, if you're planning on using cryptocurrency for down payment, you need to convert that to good old fashioned American cash and get that in your bank account for sure. So there's a lot of different places that you can go to get that money. Stocks. You know, many people own stocks. You know, that's one thing, you have to liquidate that stock, and provide the trail of money of where that stock was sold and then transferred into your account. You know, that's an option for you as well. So a lot of different places you can do it. But the main thing I would tell any of our listeners out there that are getting ready to buy a home, make sure that that you know exactly where the money's coming from, and that you are upfront and honest with your mortgage professional, so that they can tell you the path to go and what you would need to provide in order to prove that down payment.
Yeah, and we're talking about in the umbrella of what you in the industry say, source and seasoning, right?
Yes.
So the underwriter and the processor are going to want documentary evidence of where everything came from. So if you had an evening gig where you've been cashing that check and sticking it in the safe, you'll need to deposit that money, right?
And need to do it 60 days prior.
Right. So you really need to source and season everything, regardless of,
and start early.
Yes.
Yes. And typically we're going to go back 60 days, 2 months bank statements. And any large deposit that they see, so if you have that, you know, you play the guitar down at Coffee Underground or something, and you've got, you know, $5,000 in cash you've been keeping in a safe, you need to put that money in the bank and let it sit there at least you know, 2 or 3 months prior to, you know, closing on your home, because we don't want to have to go trying to verify that, because it may be deemed an ineligible asset and we may not be able to use it. Now, a lot of people ask me, okay, why do you care where the money comes from? You know, which is a great question. And of course, you know, the reason that they do that is for fraud purposes. They want to make sure that the seller is not giving you $10,000 or $20,000 or something and having you pay more for a particular property, especially from a builder perspective or someone that has a multitude of different products or, excuse me, a multitude of different houses that they're selling in a general area. They may be trying to really raise the value of one house in order to sell 10 more behind it for an increased amount.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of that in 08, JD, 06, 07, and 08,
yeah,
where a builder might take a second mortgage off the books.
Yep. Yep.
As part of your down payment.
Sure.
And in the industry, we call that dual contracts,
yep,
which is illegal. So
sure,
sometimes there would be a contract that you submitted to the mortgage company.
Yeah.
And another contract that
was
they had
the
between,
yeah,
yeah, just privately between, yeah, the builder.
Or the Maserati in the garage.
That's right.
Yeah.
The gift
and
back.
The inducement to buy. So, yeah, there was a lot of that was going on, you know. And so I say a lot. There wasn't that much, but
we had some right here in the upstate.
Yeah, we did. So it was one of those things you had to check out, and it creates rules, which is why the mortgage package, by the way, has gone from 10 sheets of paper to about 120 sheets of paper, because of things like that have popped up in the past. So anyway, I do want to, we got about a minute and a half left. I do want to thank all the real estate professionals that took the time to come to our Realtor Roundtable over at Thornblade last week. I thought we had a great turnout. I thought the topics were timely, and I thought they were really good. Thank you again to Anna Totes and Tim Kastner. Tim, who came out, he's an appraiser that we have used for years. Tim does an absolute fantastic job. He's been in the industry a long time. He knows his stuff, and it was kind of interesting. I sat at his table for a few minutes, and he had some good topics and some good things that he talked about as well. And we'll try to do another one of those. We're going to try to do another one in August or September.
Great.
And we're going to poll the audience and have some of you guys give us some topics that maybe you guys would like to hear about as well. And it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. So, Keith, what's on tap for the weekend? Anything fun?
Just some golf, a little bit of family stuff. Now, the BMW is the following week,
One week away. So they are, I will tell you, there's a lot of things happening over at Thornblade right now. They've got a lot of all the signage and stands and everything are being put up. And the BMW will be next weekend. So when we're on the air the following week, there'll be a lot of people out there, and the golfers will be there, and the celebrities and everything else. So
fun time in town.
Absolutely. You've been listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. You can always email me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. You've been listening to House Plans. We'll be back next week.